This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online, brought to you in association with Giovanni's. No Paul Abbandonato, but I'm here, Dominic Booth, with Nathan Blake, for hopefully just as incisive a chat without Paul. You never know. It is possible.
More incisive.
Potentially.
Just me and you, the two intelligent ones.
Yeah, and no one's sitting on the fence for any predictions as well, hopefully. We're obviously going to cut through the disastrous defeats, really, for Cardiff against Watford and Everton. Some questions for Blakey, and he takes on Footy 5 once again, see if he can improve. And then obviously looking ahead to a clash between two of your old sides,
Cardiff
against Wolves, Molineux. What about, where do we start then with this? With these two home defeats, Nathan? Because they're as bad as each other, really, in many ways.
Yeah, if you look, the Watford game, I think the disappointing thing from my point of view with Watford was it didn't seem to be any lessons learned from the away fixture earlier on in the season. I mean, we come away from Watford saying we hadn't seen a team, you know, take Cardiff apart like that for, well, I hadn't seen a team in the Premier League or the Championship take Cardiff apart like that. So you could possibly say Man City in the FA Cup the season before, but
Even worse, wasn't it?
I mean, they excuse me, just a little bless
it's
me.
A live show,
bless me. They just seem to almost get, you know, stuck in a situation where they were waiting for something to happen, and Watford, you know, didn't disappoint them. You know what I mean? From Cardiff's point of view, they didn't seem to be trying to chase the game. They were almost, it was almost like what had happened in the first fixture. They knew, right, we can't cope against this sort of system.
They hadn't learned from it, they just repeated it.
No, they just, because they played the same system 4-2-2-2, and they just, we've said many a times about rotation and Cardiff, but I think you've seen it at its best. And Watford were great up there, and they were even better at the City Stadium.
Yeah, well, De La Feu obviously got the credit, but it was the movement, I thought, watching the game back. I wasn't actually at the game, but I watched the game back in full. The movement of Hughes and Pereira, we've spoken about it before, Cardiff couldn't deal with it. They were moving diagonally across the defence, and it was just impossible for the.
If you want
to
stay man to man, it's ideal to play against. If a team is going to play man to man against you, it's perfect. First of all, the system they're playing, the shape they're playing, isn't the norm. From the shape they set up,
it's quite fluid, isn't it?
Yeah, very fluid. And you think, oh well, they're not going to go wide, but Watford actually like to get wide and like to get runners from midfield in behind you. It's not difficult to contend with if you've worked on it, but if you don't work on it, like anything, it's going to become really difficult. And I thought that was a bad time to get that kind of home result with the amount of goals we shipped, because it's, you know, it's okay saying, oh, we'll just do it in the next game, but it's not how it works. I think like Bournemouth are on an eight defeat run at the moment. You know, it can happen to you. Cardiff can go from now to the end of the season without winning a game, without picking up a point. It's quite possible.
It's the momentum of those runs.
Yeah, and if you look at where we were 2 weeks ago, we're all on a high thinking, you know, what were we saying, 25 points, literally 10 more points, you know, 3 wins and a draw, probably going to stay up. But, you know, now you're looking and thinking,
Where are these wins going to come from?
I mean, the beauty of it, the only positive, I suppose, you can take from it is two terrible defeats, and they still sit outside the relegation zone.
Yeah, time of recording, it's obviously Southampton Fulham tonight is a game all Cardiff fans should be keeping an eye on, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Was the Everton game in some ways actually worse, Blakey? Because no shots on target against Everton. There were those periods in the Watford game, there was the penalty shout, which obviously I think we would agree should have been given.
100%.
Yeah.
And that was at 1-0.
Yeah, and there was a period in the second half, at the start of the second half, when it was still 1-0, and Cardiff were going forward. And I think De La Feu scored from first Cardiff set piece when they could have got back in the game.
Well, that was a poor ball by Bennett, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah.
They headed it away, and there wasn't a pass. De La Feu picked it up. Breezes past someone in midfield, and then Bruno is square on the halfway line. He stood square on. He's got to be side on and dropping rather than square on and walking forward. And so De La Feu looked like, you know,
Christmas.
He looked like Usain Bolt. He went past him like he was stood still. And we know Bruno's quick. You know what I mean? So
it was too easy.
It was too easy, just all around. One ball in, headed away, ends up in the back of your net. The first goal where Deeney's going down and gets on his haunches and all that. You're thinking, well, Morrison smash him. No. Okay, Bennett, you smash him. No. And it just seemed to be, you know, Manga, you smashing them. One of you, he's expecting it. He's a tough cookie, Troy. He's expecting that kind of that warrior to come through him, not hurt him, not damage him, but it's like
physical
tiptoeing around his feet, and he's trying to keep on his feet and what have you. So for me, the goals against Watford were disappointing, and I think what it done is give you a real, like, a bit of a confidence killer.
Mm.
And I think there's like an emotional dump after the away victory and the emotions of Emilio and stuff like that. I think there's a combination of a lot of things going on at the moment.
So you think the Everton game was possibly it was too quick a turnaround after the disappointment of Watford, and Cardiff never got going at any stage in the game, really. I know there were some changes from Warnock. For me, they didn't work.
Well, Bakuna, the first goal, he never attaches himself to, if you watch it, right, watch the goals, Bakuna never attaches himself to Sigurdsson, which I don't get, right? Because I know the ball goes down the right-hand side and what have you. First, we kick it out. The ball goes down the right-hand side, and you might say, okay, Junior's turned his back. But Junior's tracking his man. The man gets the cross in. Gilfie's like 12 yards out on his own.
You know that's where it's going.
Right? Yeah. Traditionally, most teams now cut it back. They don't cross the ball anymore. They cut back. But if you watch the replay, Bakuna's, he's with him in midfield, but he's like 5 yards, say, to left. He's not got him directly in his sights. He's off to his right-hand side, off to Bakuna's right-hand side. And then what happens is, as Bakuna turns over his left shoulder to follow Højlund, Gylfi just runs off him.
Yeah.
Totally blind. And then, you know, if you look, Bakuna's the nearest man to get to him, but is nowhere near him, really. It's a simple finish. So.
And questions over Manga for the second goal as well. Playing out of position at right back, we'll probably get into that a bit later.
Yeah. The second goal where he's trailing across the pitch. It's because he's not got an option. If I'm playing up front there, I'm expecting him. I'm just going to try and make a run in behind. And if it goes out for a throw-in and if he misses up, you can say 50-50, yes, let the ball go regardless. But he's probably thinking, we need to get back in the game, maintain possession, play off a front man or something. But he just got robbed and he didn't see, I don't think he's seen the other man coming on his shoulder.
I mean, for me, the Everton game was disappointing because I felt Everton, I don't know what you felt, Blakey. They weren't looking particularly confident until the first goal went in.
Nail on the head, Dom. No confidence at all.
No.
Everton. They came here with a defensive structure.
Yeah.
Defensive setup. Two holding midfielders. You know, brought back Schneiderlin, who hasn't been seen. Right?
Yeah.
That tells you straight away, right, they're on the defensive. Boys, let's get at them. Right? Let's not disappoint them. Let's get on top of them. Pressure them. Crosses. Shots. The lot. Don't matter if you're shooting, it's going over the bar or wide, as long as the crowd's engaged and it's corners, whatever you, just start well, so you can gain that momentum first, because they've come here expecting it, so don't disappoint them. All right, even at 1-0, I didn't think Everton were confident. At 2-0, they gained confidence and they started to knock about. But at 1-0, I thought, at no point did I think, well, we got a chance here. We didn't seem to have any confidence.
Didn't seem to have a plan. You often talk about a plan. It didn't seem to be...
It seemed to be... mate, you're on fire today. Because there seemed to be just 11 men approaching a game. Maybe we've said it before. You know, maybe the change of personnel. You know, Morrison back in, going to a back three. Bakuna in. Who else was in?
Well, you played the two wingers, which you haven't been seen for a while.
Correct.
Mendes line.
Correct. Loss of Camarasa. You know, so maybe it's the change of personnel and not allowing yourself to get into some sort of rhythm. Because that's what they looked. They didn't have no rhythm, no confidence, no rhythm. They seemed to be just playing through the game. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, Everton, no great shakes. But you see the difference in the Everton team. Once the second goal goes in, they look like a team now who could be in the top eight of the Premier League. Before that went in, they looked like a team that's fighting relegation.
They were still scrambling around. You almost wanted if you could have had the Everton game on the Friday, when they were going in cold and Cardiff were going in cold, it might have been better than that. And we know what Watford can do to Cardiff.
Yeah.
By all accounts, they seem to be the bogey side.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even say bogey. I would say they got our measure.
Yeah.
And it's for you as the coaching staff, when you come up against Watford, you're going to have to change.
Yeah.
Because what they do counteracts what you do for the better. So how are you going to counteract that? You know what I mean?
We've got to get another season in the Premier League.
We'll find out. But Gracier, good manager though.
Yeah, he's done
very, very good job.
Talking about teams having their number, we'll probably come on to this a little bit later. I was on another podcast, a Wolves podcast, asking me about this weekend's game, and I actually said I think Cardiff have got Wolves' number a little bit based on recent years. But we'll come on to that later. I want to talk about Victor Camarasa. For me, he's been the biggest absence of all the people who've missed these games, whether they missed one or two.
Yeah.
Because he just seems to be the person who transitions Cardiff in the midfield. They always play with two holding midfielders. Reed was a little bit high against Everton for me. Camarasa can transition that game, turn it into a counter-attack when Cardiff lose the ball. And there seems to be some doubt over his injury at the moment, and Neil Warnock doesn't seem too happy.
Yeah, there seems to be. I did see Neil's interview yesterday, but you signed him. You know what you signed up for.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't get, like, having those conversations in public. It's not going to change or improve the situation. All it's going to do, really and truly, is probably antagonise it.
Venting a frustration or two, isn't
it? Yeah, I understand that, but, you know, you signed him, you know exactly what you were getting, you know exactly the situation. And it's, you know, Camarasa's not alone in players going to their own physios. It's something I never understood.
That's happened then, that's quite commonplace.
I know boys at Chelsea who go back to Paris or go back to Brazil or go back to, and you know, not just Chelsea.
Yeah.
Most top clubs. It's what happens. I never understood it because it's almost like, well, you know, what it does is undermine your own physiotherapy and your own doctors and your own, do you know what I mean? It's like saying, well, they don't understand the injury the same as the other side do. But if that's where, I think why they do it is because for a player, if you're happy in mind, you heal quicker. It's kind of that sort of theory, I think, is behind the thinking. But still, I would have everything in-house and would expect my players to be treated by my physiotherapy staff, and if the player is 90% fit, then he's good to go in my book, because no player is ever 100% fit. You're always 90% fit carrying something, and they go knock, especially this stage of the season. Now, what you got to ask, the question I think Neil Warnock is asking, which I don't think was clever, was, you know, well, I got Sol Bamba here, who will go through, you know, brick walls and, you know,
he pointed out that he's got problems with his thigh and all this.
But you've got Victor, who's got an injury which I don't say as big as, who's not prepared. Well, that's a mental thing. I've played with players who are warriors, and I've played with players who will follow the warrior. It's as simple as that. And, you know, longevity-wise, the warriors always have a shorter career. Do you know what I mean?
They take more blows, I guess.
Because you do. Nobody could
criticise Camarasa, really, I think.
Well, it's not his fault for being injured. You're injured.
And it's probably his advisors telling him he can't play. He'd probably love to play.
Sol's a dyad for Cardiff. Victor's on loan.
Yeah.
Victor's got to look after himself first. You might find Victor at Everton next season, by the way.
Mm.
You know, that's the kind of thing. So, do you want to play with an injury that may erupt again or may put you back another 3 months or something? No.
And he's 24 and Bamba's 34. I think that makes a difference too.
Yeah. Well, he should heal quicker, really. Yeah. But
he maybe wants to prolong his career.
He might not, and he's prolonging himself. You know, and his advisors are telling him. I just think it was needless, really, because it's... Okay, what is better about that situation by going public and saying that?
Well, it doesn't change the injury, does it?
Nothing changes, Dom. All it does is a few people get their backup, probably.
Mm.
Yeah, Neil's venting his frustration. I guarantee you, because if that was my player, that would have got my backup. I would have said, well, you know, you're almost questioning our integrity by saying what you're saying. Saying we're lying or... We don't know what we're talking about, or.
But
it should have remained in house,
yeah.
Right? Because your physiotherapy department and his physiotherapy department, you know, the fact is he's injured. How things are perceived, facts are perceived differently by you and I, as simple as that. So you can't question their physio and you can't question the kind of physio. You've got to say to the player, do you want to play? Can you play? If he says no, okay, no problem, move on.
The very fact we're talking about this, though, probably it proves your point that an issue has been made where it didn't need to be, and it's probably accentuated how much Cardiff need Camarasa now and need him back in the team.
Right, but what the question done was almost question him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which I would say, oh, you're kind of poking the dog with a stick there, you know, kind of, if you're going to question Victor, keep that in-house. We don't need to hear about that. We shouldn't be discussing, you know, whether or not Victor's fit enough to play.
Yeah.
He knows, his people know, Neil knows, their people know. Now, they might be in disagreement, but okay, have your disagreement in-house. There's absolutely no need for it to come out in the public because it's not going to help anybody.
No, I think that and the debate around Sean Morrison... Plus the rotation between a quick turnaround in games.
What's the debate around Sean Morrison?
Well, we'll come on to it later. We've got big, big questions for you on this later.
Okay,
I'll just talk about it generally.
Okay.
But that general debate of, where's Camarasa? Mm. Should Morrison be back? Why are all these changes being made?
Mm.
It's made for a bit of uncertainty, I feel, around the team.
Mm.
I don't know if you feel like that's contributed to the
slump. I think, yeah, I would agree with you, Tom. I would say there's lots of different factors at the moment. Factors that we're able to control and factors that are out of our control at this moment in time. I think there's a lot more, and the City fans ain't stupid. I mean, the atmosphere had changed for me.
Yeah,
I actually massively. Heard boos.
Incredible, yeah. People leaving early.
We've been well beaten this season and they have cheered them off and clapped at them where the press are saying, well, we just don't understand this. Even friends of mine are saying, never seen that before. Team got beat, well beat, and you know they're being clapped off and applauded, and you know, and you understood, yeah, because the fans are letting you know, no matter what, just keep plugging away. We're with you. Well, last night was the first time there was unrest,
yeah,
which really surprised me. But like I said, I think there's external factors, which we can't discuss.
Yeah,
we won't discuss. It's not our point to.
Exactly.
There's investigations going on, but I think these things are all having a part in the general mood.
It does, doesn't it? Though, off the field and on the field, always
connects.
Affects
everybody. We're all human,
yeah.
So it's affecting everybody. Do you know what I mean? Whichever way you think, good, bad, or indifferent, it's having an effect for me.
There have been some comments on social media that have said this is a regression back to what happened before the Salah tragedy. So the form before what happened with Emiliano Salah, Cardiff had obviously lost at Newcastle and drawn a really poor game against Huddersfield.
That's right.
And if you take the two results after, they seem to be galvanised and they seem to really come together at Bournemouth against Bournemouth at Southampton. since then it's been two really poor results again. Mm. Is there any thread
it's
through that?
It's a hangover, I think.
Yeah.
I think emotionally, straight away, I think you would have gone into that. We said it on the boot room. There's no way you can lose that kind of the next game sort of thing. You kind of it's you kind of like paying your mark of respect to, you know, your fallen soldier, if you like, you know, the one who you never got to play with or have you. And I think emotionally, I think if you looked at the crowd, the players, you know, I remember Bamba's celebration, Zahor celebrate. I think emotionally they were, you might say, oh well, that's how people celebrate, but no, it meant so much more.
It came from somewhere deep down.
Yeah, a different part of your soul, like, you know. And I think if you're looking at the team now, like I say, other factors are at play as well, but I think that is playing a part. The it's kind of like, you know, you see if your boxers having an adrenaline dump, they're so like hype.
You can't stay that
way
the whole time.
And they're so tuned and wired for so long. You get to the fight, you box around, and you're gone. Right, because emotionally it's just all come out of you. Well, I would say looking at the team, and I don't think it's just the team, I think it's the fans, it's us.
Yeah, and the management, I
would
say.
We all seem to be down, you know, whether it's, like I say, what's going on, and we know what's going on, and we don't like what's going on, fair enough, but I don't know, there doesn't seem to be that same feeling there was pre this situation.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult one for Cardiff to manage. Final question before we have a short break. How do they snap out of it? Is there an easy way out of this slump, or do you see it continuing?
Snap out of it, I would probably say, right, get the team up, get them away. Don't have to be a hot country, doesn't have to be Dubai for a week or something like that, or something like that. Just, I tell you what, we played Monday, next game Saturday, okay, Saturday after Saturday, not got a game till the following Saturday. Jump on a plane, go up to Ireland, go over to Ireland, up to Scotland, go and have a day's golfing, spa, chill out, blah, 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 blah. Try and take a real private retreat.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, go and have a relax, blah, blah, blah. We'll sit, we'll discuss how we're all feeling, blah, 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 blah. What went right, what's gone wrong, blah, blah, blah. Open and frank. And that means open and frank. No one hold back anything. If you think it, say it. Have it out. Group of men. Blah, blah, blah.
So you think it's a...
Right, get it resolved. Back on the plane. Back to Cardiff. Right. On the Wednesday, the Thursday, we start with a fresh brain. We can't affect the past. If we could... We'd be millionaires, mate.
Yeah.
Millionaires, mate.
But you think it's a mental issue rather than a physical issue? It's not the hard yards on the training pitch.
The brain tells the body what to do, Dom. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And at this stage of the season, you've seen last season, you play an extra, like, 8-10 games in the championship, right? Last season, we were coming into our own now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it was at this stage, it was just grinding out, wasn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. We were starting to come in our own. We were starting to believe, right, this is going to happen, you know? But it's sort of, it's turned on its head.
It's running away from it a little
moment.
Bit.
Yeah,
it?
It's kind of like, fellas, we need to reset here. Or, like I just mentioned, Bournemouth, we could easily go next 10 games without winning the game. That would be the fear. You stay on 25, 26 points, 27 points.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope there is a reaction at Molineux. We'll talk about the Wolves game a little bit later in the podcast. Let's have a short break and then we'll ask Blakey.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
So I want to tie in our debate this week, Blakey, with a question that comes in from Rez Davis. Delayed us talking about it before.
Rez Davis. Yep. Reza.
He says, Blakey, do you agree with the decision to bring back Sean Morrison in weeks after his appendix op? He says the fact that Cardiff have conceded 8 in a week seemed to be it seemed to be that a winning formula had been stumbled upon against Southampton and Bournemouth.
Yeah.
To change that with Morrison coming back, has it disrupted
things? I think it's a little unfair that the results have coincided with Sean coming back, okay? I can't sit here and say it's never because of one person.
No.
Right?
Agreed.
The two results where they've won games and having Manga and Bamba, I think a lot of people have called for that, including ourselves. We were probably the earliest to call for it.
We've been calling for some time, I think.
Well, yeah, for a couple of years, right? So I think, and I don't think we had stumbled upon that. I think that was always there, probably in the back of the manager's mind also. But your captain is your captain, and I understand that too. But once he's gone out of the team, through no fault of anyone's, yeah, it's a health issue, and you're playing well, do I disrupt that back line if I've got no need to? Or do I disrupt that central partnership if I've got no need to?
Let me play devil's advocate and say what Warnock will say in answer to this. He will say, Morrison and Bamba were my partnership last season.
Mm-hmm.
Morrison was player of the year last season, mm-hmm. hauled Cardiff up with some inspirational performances as captain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still getting Bruno Manga in the team. I think, as Neil Warnock, I think that Manga can do a job at right back.
Fine, I just don't think you're as strong.
And
if you're not as strong in the Premier League, where the chances are, where everyone's got you ticked to go down, my thing was loyalty goes out the window at that point. Sentiment, as you all know, I always say, there's no room for.
Yeah.
This is about winning, and this is about success. You know, if Sean's in the team or out of the team, and Cardiff stay up, does anyone going to say, oh, well, you know, it was wrong because Sean wasn't in the team? Yeah, if we go down, what happens is people start pointing the finger and saying, oh, it's because of him, and it's because of him. And there's no way you're going to stop that. You've just heard me say it's nowhere near can be one person's fault. He's your captain. He was an inspirational captain last season. But
it's the blend, you say.
At the end of the day, for me... you play your strongest, and I would say the strongest centre-back partnership in this league is Bruno and Son.
Yeah, with Peltier at right-back, who I think was doing a great job, actually.
Yeah, he was just smashing people, you know?
Would you then look into this decision and maybe see that Warnock was trying not to upset the togetherness, the team spirit?
No, because players understand, Dom. We all
but
know.
Morrison is a leader in that dressing room.
It doesn't matter. There's more than one leader. I don't say, I've always maintained Sean is the captain, but Saul is the captain. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sean, listen.
He certainly didn't look out of place wearing the armband.
No.
Leading the
No. You wouldn't. People don't not listen to Saul because he's not the captain. He's actually the captain on the pitch, even when Sean's playing. He's still the leader and captain on the pitch. So, yeah, that bears no significance to me.
What about the prospect of a back three or a back five then getting
Well,
all
I said it. I said I thought, you know, if you're going to go for it, get the three galoots in. But it to me, it didn't work over the two games. You can't play a back three so wide. They played a back three like a back four. The one goal Delafeu scored, I think, when he chipped Etheridge. The back three, Saul, Sean, and Bruno. Saul's playing as like a... Saul's high on the left-hand side. He's almost in a left wing-back position. So Delafeu goes down that channel and Sean's too far away from him. They, you know, that they're the back line. They need to stick as a three in line. Right? If you're playing offside, you all play offside. If you're playing deep, you all play deep. The midfield can afford to switch that around a little. But that back three, it can be Saul high, Sean a bit deeper, and Bruno in between them. And then what was happening? Saul, left channel. Sean, middle channel. Bruno, right channel. No. If it's down the left-hand side, Saul's in the left-back position. Sean's across on the left centre-back position. Bruno's over on the penalty spot, centre spot. The three of them are over on that left channel.
But I said before, Cardiff almost play a back four in a very defensive way. So they almost don't need to play a back three because they've got four defensive players across the back there. Peltier will stay where he is at right
Absolutely.
Back. Bennett won't really go forward. He wants to, I think.
Bennett's, like we said, Bennett is good going forward and he's great on the run, I think.
I
would want a lot more from him, but he has. But the beauty of having Peltier is your back four can become a back three.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a monster challenger. Fine, we always said we want more out of our fullback positions. But if not, if you're going to play someone who doesn't want to get forward and just going to munch people in challenges, play Pelts.
I think some people are calling for Bakuna as an attacking right back. I personally don't think it's the right time for Cardiff to be doing that.
I wouldn't either. I would go back to what got me where I was at my best. And I think they were getting into a good run of form as a Etheridge, two centre-backs, Bamba, Manga, and then the two full-backs in, you know, because Peltz, he'll get the ball and lend it to the winger. It's what you want if you're a winger. You know, you don't want him overlapping you and looking better than you, but that's what's called for in the game. But Peltz is like, I'll stay here. You go on in.
He doesn't mind. That's the great thing.
Absolutely.
Neil Warnock's talking about he wants players in the trenches with him.
You don't get a better one than that.
He said that after the Everton game, but on the Everton game, he'd left Peltier, Arter, and Patterson all on the bench.
Three warriors, like.
Three of the biggest for me. Put Gunnarsson and Bamba in that mix. I find it a strange comment because I think.
Sometimes given a chance again, he might look back and say, I probably went too far with the changes there. Have done myself.
Yeah.
And you might see if he reverts back to a back four and
personnel come in.
He's changed it all season, but I think when you stumble on that winning formula, which he did, and I don't think it was by default or by mistake. I think, like we said, Manga going into the central position was really important. Now you might say, he played against Watford and he got destroyed. Well, no. Your team got destroyed against Watford. You know what I mean? And they got destroyed up at Watford. So, you know, we can't point at Bruno, we can't point at Sean, we can't point at Saul, Neil, we can't point at anybody. Midfield, attack, defence, you just can't.
When a pattern starts to emerge, it's better to look at that. I'd also say that a midfield three needs to return for me against Everton. Bakuna and Gunnarsson were horribly exposed, I thought.
And I think Bakuna's been very lucky, to be honest with you, to step into that team at the point that he did. Was very fortunate.
Well, right? People will question that.
And if you're going to step in there, you've got to rip it up. And like I said, the one goal against Everton the other night, the first goal. If I'm a centre forward, it's probably going to go off in the dressing room at half time, because I know if I'm not shutting down the centre back, or if I'm not holding the ball up, Bakuna's got every right to absolutely cane me and tell me, get hold of it. You're not bringing anyone to play. Any danger you winning a flick on. Any chance of you running your man. Any chance of you finishing one of those strikes. Right? So when you don't do something, I'm not going to say to you, Bakuna's, you know, any chance you... No, it's going to result in fire. That's what Warriors do.
I'm sure words are exchanged in that dressing room.
Absolutely.
Warnock says they can't feel sorry for themselves now. There's no time.
From Bakuna's point of view, it takes a time to get into the rhythm of the team and the new players. And, you know, what does Mendes Lang like? Oh, he likes to come short, to go long, to get in behind. What does Junior like? Junior likes to go long, come short, get the ball. He's a trickster, he likes the ball. All these little things you get they're used to playing with. Okay, so now Kenneth is back in the team after his goal.
He wants a different thing to what Nias wants.
Right, but if you look at what we were doing last night, it was last night, wasn't it?
Tuesday night.
I lost my day, yeah.
Time's gone
slow. So if you look at what you were doing last night, we were almost back to what we were doing in the Championship with Kenneth. Bang, bang, woof, long. Kenneth running the channels, but it didn't happen enough. And you weren't able to then go, okay, yeah, but let's do a bit of bit intricacy. We were just going bang, long, bang, long, bang, long. And, you know, Kenneth's got to play himself in the form also.
Yeah, well, we'll wait till Paul's back on the podcast to discuss the more in depth.
You'd be saying like...
We'd have a 20-minute section.
Yeah, and he done well, but it's difficult for a team who are devoid of confidence But if you're up against a team who are devoid of confidence, you know, you've got to be willing at home, you've got to be willing to strike that first blow, to go, not get the goal, to apply the pressure on the neck of your opponent first. It's expected. They expected it. If you don't deliver, they'll then take advantage, which is what happened, I think.
Exactly, yeah. And big changes needed for the visit to Wolves. Right, let's have a look at that Wolves game.
That was one question, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That was a
great question,
yeah,
Rez.
It was.
Best really ask Blakey you've had in a long time. Right, let's see if Blakey can get his predictions right then after a short break.
Got a question for Blakey? Tweet us at Cardiff City Live.
So, Nathan, do you want to start by talking about Wolves, or do you want to start with your footy five predictions?
I'm going up the Wolves. Let's talk about Wolves. I'm going up the Wolves. I'm doing a night with Matt Murray. Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing all those Wolves fans. It's a little like mark of respect, I think, for the championship team that got the first promotion in, I don't know, 20-odd years, 25 years. Kind of, even though they went down, I think, League One a couple of seasons later. But that first promotion, all through my career, playing against Wolves, they were always a team that was supposed to get promoted that never did.
Yeah.
So when I got there, my ambition was, no matter what happens, you've got to win a promotion in the 3 years you've signed here.
And that was the first time I came across your name as a footballer, actually, at Wolves, sort of mid-noughties team.
Mm.
Remember you playing up front and scoring a few goals?
Yeah.
Only great to discover you also play for Cardiff and others.
Great time at Wolves, but great club. So I'm looking forward to going up and spending some time with the fans and that, yeah.
It's somewhere, and a team Cardiff have sussed out a little bit in recent years. I know they lost that game where...
Two penalty misses.
Warnock and Nuno exchanged some words after the game.
I was watching it the other night.
That I'm never going to get old, that video of him telling Nuno where to get off. Mm. But they should have won it with two penalty misses in the last minute. Mm. They did win earlier in the season when Højlund scored a pearler. They won at Molineux early last season in a game we often hark back to.
Yeah.
What's been the formula they've got right against Wolves?
I think Cardiff have just brought legs, energy and you know, competitiveness, really, and that, you know, aggression, which, you know, has seemed to upset Wolves. But I honestly, Dom, I think it'll be a different story.
You think?
Yeah, I think Wolves are I think they're seventh, I think.
They've had a very good season. I think they're seventh or eighth.
Seventh or eighth. They look fantastic. And they've learned... What I like about Wolves is how they play in the Championship. They're playing similar to the Premier League, but their players from the Championship have learned quickly. And that's how they're... You know, you don't get 40 points, I think they've got now. You don't get 40 points by...
With games of
luck and just, you know, it's great to hear. They've beaten and taken on some of the best. So, you know, it's not been a fluke. First time I think, I got lucky. But to do it time and time again and sit above teams like Everton, above teams like Palace, above teams like Bournemouth, you know, all these teams, they sat above who have got a lot more experience than them in the league. I think, you know, as one of my former clubs, it's fantastic to see. I love it. I love watching them as well. I think they're a really good team.
It's a model that Cardiff would probably struggle to replicate, I guess, but...
Well, it's not 20 passes a goal. It's not Swansea.
It's not a possession-based,
you know, near the box, go back. It's not. It's dynamic. It's very much... Cardiff have the players to play that.
You think?
Well, they've got wingers.
Yeah.
With Mendes Lang.
Have they got a Neves or a Moutinho?
Murphy, mad pace. We've said one thing Cardiff lacks, creative midfielder.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying Neves.
We've always said
it. Yeah, and Moutinho. Right?
But can Gunnarsson pick a pass? Absolutely. Might get 9 out of 10 passes from a Moutinho, but you might get 7 out of Gunnarsson. You know what I mean? He's still going to give you a good... And Arda, he can pick a pass with his left foot. You know, Camarasa, he can definitely pick a pass. He is Wolves and above quality. So, you've got the players to do it. Play on that counter-attack style and stretch teams and really that width. Because that's where Mendes Lang's at his best. That's where Junior's at his best. When they're 1v1. Do you know what I mean? Murphy, 1v1. So, me, I love the way Wolves play. Because there's plenty of keep ball and plenty of counter attack.
Mm.
It's not too much of one thing or too much of another. I think they've got a great balance.
They mix it up well, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have seen, though, and we've seen Cardiff give them problems. Mm. Back at Molineux, it was almost 2 years ago, I think.
3-2?
Right at the start of... No, 2-1, wasn't it?
3-2, wasn't it? At the start of... what they're doing 3-2.
At the start of...
17-18.
Last season, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mendes-Lang scored maybe a couple.
Yeah.
But Mendes-Lang and Højlund gave Matt Doherty, who's probably one of the form fullbacks in the league, gave him a right old tough time. But... Mm. Like you say, Wolves seem to have adapted better to the Premier League.
Well, their players who played in the Championship and played a lot of games in the Championship, a lot of them have played a lot of games in the Premier League. They haven't had situations where, you know, their striker's not been on form or is not getting goals or there seems to be a problem, you know, or midfielders not adapting or having to go and buy new midfielders to slot in to adapt to. You know,
very settled side as well.
Very, very settled side, and look like they're going to go again this summer. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it because, like I said, I do like watching Wolves play. They are a fantastic team to watch. Pace, power, passing ability. You know, they score a worldie, and Neves can pull a worldie out. You know, they've got a bit of everything. You know, Jota, I just think. Everywhere around the pitch, they've got it. Like,
It's sounding like you're not going to predict a Cardiff win from all this. How do
you
see the game?
Cardiff all day.
After all that.
No, I don't. I can't see Cardiff winning the game, but they do need to get back on the horse. I fear that Wolves will do Cardiff. I think Cardiff are in a real precarious position at the moment. I hope they surprise me and go and you know beat Wolves and get back on the horse sort of thing. But looking between the two, Cardiff 8 goals in 2 games, you know, you don't. That's just not a unlucky. That's listen, we got problems, mate. Right? You know, we ain't got like a split in the bottom of a boat. We got like a gaping hole, and it's the water's coming in fast.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah, yeah.
So what score are you saying for this one then? This is the last of the Footy 5 predictions, so I'll give you 4 more after this.
Wolves Cardiff, I'm going to go 2-0 Wolves.
2-0. Mm. Well, I'm going to say they're going to get back on the horse in a way. I'm going to say 0-0.
Okay.
I think Wolves haven't been particularly free
scoring.
I'd
take that all day.
Yeah, you would. I think most Cardiff fans would. So the rest of your Footy 5 predictions, we'll start with Bournemouth versus Man City.
Bournemouth at home, Man City. Bournemouth are due a result, but it is Man City, so I'll go 2-0.
2-0 City.
Mm-hmm.
Brighton v Huddersfield. God, can do with Brighton not winning.
Good result last night for Huddersfield.
Yeah, it was very good.
Brighton, on a bad run, but do you know what? Chris Hughton, Premiership, Championship, doesn't really matter. He's just really good professional manager. So I'm going to say Brighton 1-0.
1-0 Brighton on that one. Burnley Palace is
Burnley was
like
shocking
a terrible
last
one
night.
To predict, to be
yeah.
fair.
Yeah, and Palace always do me, don't they? Burnley can't be that bad twice in a row. Burnley Palace, Burnley at home. 1-0.
1-0 Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
And the final one, Man United Southampton. The game certainly kind of
Man
United
2-3 Southampton 1.
3-1 Man United. Excellent. Brilliant stuff. Well, it's good to...
pleasure, Dom.
Good to air our thoughts without Paul
without Paul jumping in and defending Kenneth.
We'll hopefully have that Zaha discussion after the Wolves game next week.
Can't have it without Paul.
Let's see. Let's see what he does at Molineux. Right, thanks very much for listening. Thank you, Blakey, for your contribution today. You can obviously subscribe, share and rate us on iTunes, Spotify, Acast or Wales Online. From the two of us this week, it's goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Au revoir.